Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be back. Thanks for being here with us. It's always so nice to get to come back and do this on a Monday, and especially when we got a great show for you. Second hour, we'll talk bioethics with Father Tad Poholchik. And, you know, that's always good. He's a top, one of the world's experts in the Catholic understanding of bioethics. So if you got any kind of bioethics questions, second hour is the perfect hour for you. Boy, we are starting the week off right, though. The first hour on Monday, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers here with us, who's been traveling, and I'm going to ask him about his travels. Many of you have probably had the opportunity to see Deacon Harold speak, and I'm sure that you will never forget it. Just one of the great speakers in the church today, going out and sharing the good news. And also the author of wonderful books, Behold the Man, A Catholic Vision of Male Spirituality, and a beautiful book called Father Augustus Tolton, the Slave, who became the first African-American priest. And now a new book coming out. Deacon Harold, first of all, welcome.
Thank you very much, Cy. It's always great to be here with the Catholic Answers family.
And tell us about the new book. It's coming out this week, I think.
Yes. It's called Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism by Ignatius Press. And I wrote that book during the pandemic to really open the door to true conversation about issues of race and not just polemics and all the triumphalism and all the things we've been seeing, to really open the door to a deep discussion in order to bring healing to the division of race in our country and in our world.
It's Ignatius Press, you said?
Yes.
So you could probably pre-order it now if it's coming out this week. You should go to Ignatius.com and find out anyways, because we've spoken about this. You were kind enough to do an interview with us about this very topic. I remember you had an online seminar, I think you were doing with people on this very topic for a while. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, that's correct. I did a Catholic Answers Focus on this issue. And I've been doing different things for different dioceses around the country and trainings and even colleges, universities, speaking on this issue. And it's the talk has definitely evolved since I've written the book, because during those talks, I was in the process of thinking about and writing the book. But now that the book is done, the talk has evolved and some of the issues have been going a little deeper on some of the issues. And again, the whole focus is on opening the door to deeper discussion. I'm not saying that my book is the panacea, that's going to, solve the issues of race, but it will help bring to light what are the issues and how do we approach it from our Catholic faith?
Yeah.
Not secular or government solutions. How should we approach this as the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church?
I remember doing the Focus interview and feeling a surge of confidence. You just gave me the surge of confidence when you said, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact words, but you said to the effect of, the answer for racism is the gospel. And we have that.
Yes.
We have the gospel. And it was a time of there was just constant media attention and a real desire to kind of think, what is the answer? We seem to keep going over this again and again and again, these same problems. We don't get better. We don't heal. And then you just came on and said confidently, look, there's an answer to this. It's the gospel.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I lay out a plan in the book, in the last third of the book, from a parish perspective. How do we, in the parishes, people in the pew, actually carry this forward? Like, what can we do to actually ameliorate the situation? And I think it's important we do it from a parish standpoint, because that's the family.
Yeah.
And so this effort has to come from people who care deeply and seriously about this issue, open up the discussion. It flows from the parish out into the wider community.
The number is 888-318-7884. We're going to talk about sharing the good news with Dr. Deacon Harold. I promoted you to Dr. Deacon Harold.
Yeah, thanks for elevating me.
You're very welcome. I have some pains in my knee. Could you take a look at that? 888-318-7884. Sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. That's what we're talking about today, sharing the good news. I'm excited about this book. I'm going to get a copy of this book. I hope you'll get a copy of it. Building a Civilization of Love, a Catholic Response to Racism. 888-318-7884. You can call and ask whatever you'd like about how to share the good news in your family, in your parish, in your workplace, in the world. That's what Deacon Harold does. And last time I spoke to you, you were about to go on a crazy trip. I think you were going to New Zealand, I know that. And then you were hitting some South Pacific islands. And I can't remember, you were going to be gone like 3 weeks or something. How did all that go?
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, I went to New Zealand first,
yeah,
then to Papua New Guinea,
yeah,
and then to Australia after. And it was amazing, especially Papua New Guinea. That was just not just one of the greatest experiences of my speaking career, but I think one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Wow.
You know, it was amazing. The reception that Charbel Raish and I, who's the...
Oh, I know Charbel. Yeah, Charbel is he's the head of Evangelization Australia. And
you know, it was awesome. And the country is 93% Christian and 27% Catholic.
Uh-huh.
You know, so to be able to go there and to speak, I spoke to three different days to three different groups of people on a variety of different topics. It was just awesome. It was exhilarating, life-changing. It was beautiful. And I'm looking forward to going back one day soon.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy to hear about that. Is it a big Catholic community or a relatively small Catholic community? Or what's the size of that community?
Yeah, so it's 93% the country, 93% Christian, 27% Catholic.
Oh, gotcha.
And the other Christian groups are predominantly Seventh-day Adventists and Assemblies of God, so not really Catholic friendly. But the Catholics really wanted to do something because they're starting to see the secular culture kind of creep into
right.
What's going on there. And so the Catholic Church said nope, and so they brought me in. And the reason I got the reception that I did, because they treated me like an international diplomat. I mean, I had a dignitary protection team. You know, we had motorcades. You know, we bypassed all the airport immigration security. Oh, it was insane.
Wow.
We had an official reception with a group of indigenous folks from Papua. It was unbelievable. So it really
that
was.
That is so great.
They've never had a Catholic speaker come and address. See, I thought I was just talking to Catholics, but during the press conference, they said that he's here to help reform a nation. And I was like, what? Like, holy cow.
Come Holy
so
Spirit.
So I'm actually starting to, I'm actually posting the videos from that event right now on my YouTube channel. So if you go to my YouTube channel, just type in Deacon Harold on YouTube, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers on YouTube, and you'll see on my playlist, I have Papua New Guinea on there. You'll see the videos from the events.
That is, you know, you say it so casually, but I have to say, I would just like once in my life to make a trip somewhere where there's a press conference when I get there. And I can't imagine what that's like. You get to town, and they have a press conference. It was nuts.
Well, so first of all, the motorcade, you know, we're going through traffic and police cars and motorcycles are blocking traffic. And then at the airport, we got met by the Papal Nuncio. We got met by the Bishop's Conference president. The president of the country, his wife was there, and just all, it was just insane. But the press conference, yeah, the room was full. It made national news. In fact, NBC even aired a lot of this on their affiliates, because some of my friends in Texas and in Idaho called me and said, yeah, we saw you in Papua New Guinea. I'm like, what? So
wow.
It was nuts. Yeah, we had a big press conference. It was an amazing experience. It really was.
Well, praise God. I'm glad. And I'm glad that if there's going to be somebody who's got the responsibility of coming in and speaking for the good of the nation, I'm glad it was you. I think that's just wonderful. And I tell you what, if you've got a question about how to share, you don't have to go to Papua New Guinea to share the good news. You can do it wherever you are. You can go to Papua New Guinea. There's nothing that says you can't, but you don't have to. If you've got questions about sharing the good news and you'd like to talk with Deacon Harold, 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This month's devotion is to Our Lady of Sorrows. We ask Mary to pray for us so that we can unite ourselves to her in her sorrow, in the hope that we will one day also share her joy in the triumph of her Son. Join in this devotion to Mary and strengthen our connection to Our Lady with rosaries, statues, bracelets, holy cards, prayer booklets, and more. Available at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, our guest. I want to say the name of the book again, because I really do hope that this will be a very popular book and a book that lots and lots of people have on the family table for the whole family to read, called Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism. You can check it out at Ignatius.com. That's the Ignatius Press website. And if you'd like to talk with Deacon Harold, if you'd like to get some tips from one of the best about sharing the good news, you are very welcome to call here, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We start with Grant, and I don't know exactly where Grant is, but Grant, are you there with us?
Yes.
Hello, Grant. How old are you?
11.
You're 11. Have you ever gotten to see Deacon Harold speak?
No.
Oh, well, you got a lot of life left. So when he comes to your town, check him out. Go ahead with your question.
My cousins don't go to church anymore. What's the best way for me to sell the gospel of them?
God bless you, Grant.
Oh, that's a great question, Grant. Well, there's a couple reasons why, especially kids your age don't go to church. Because sometimes if their parents aren't practicing the faith and they're not going to church, so the kids say, well, if my parents don't go, then if it's not important to them, then it's not important to me, so they don't go. And often they don't see the connection, like what's going on at Mass and what does any of that stuff at that altar have to do with my life every day? You know, so the best thing that you can do, Grant, is you can live your faith. Right. And so when they see you living your faith and they see how important it is to you, they say, wait a minute, what? I want what he has. You know, Grant's got some good stuff going on in his life. And, you know, he has such a great attitude. And how do I get more of that? And you can begin to share your experience of God with them, you know, and it's OK. Just because you're 11, then you're not too young. You know, God has done amazing things with young people in the Bible. You know, I'm thinking about David, you know, was not much older than you when he became, defeated Goliath and eventually became the king of Israel, and his son Solomon, right? The Blessed Virgin Mary was a teenager, you know, so God has done a lot of great things with young people. And by your witness and example of how you live your faith, Grant, that is really going to be a wonderful example to your cousins who aren't going to church. That make sense?
Yes.
Well, that what a beautiful call, and I think you inspired very many people with your call and your question, Grant. If there's an adult, we won't ask you for your address, but if there's an adult who will give us an address there and you can put them on the phone, I'd like to send you a free book. It's a graphic novel. The Truth is Out There. It's one of three graphic novels we have here, and I'd love you to have it, Grant. If you just hang on, don't hang on. Put an adult on the line. We'll send that out to you and hope you enjoy it and call back another time. The number here is 888-318-7884. Our guest is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, the world traveling Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, back from his journeys around the Pacific. And what's your speaking schedule like now? Like this fall, how many speaking dates do you think you'll do this fall?
Yeah, I'm gonna be pretty busy traveling almost every week. Right now, I'm at Holy Family of Nazareth Catholic Church in Irving, Texas. I'm doing a parish mission tonight and tomorrow. So if you're in the area, would love to see you. Again, Holy Family of Nazareth Catholic Church in Irving, Texas, tonight and tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And then I'm home for a day and a half. Then I go to Phoenix, then to Los Alamitos, California, then down to San Diego.
Very good.
Where we'll be attending the Catholic Answers Conference next week. And I hope everybody listening also is able to attend. I'd love to meet you guys in person. And, of course, I'll have the three Australian speakers with me, Charbel Raish, Robert Haddad, and Kevin Bailey, you all know there at Catholic Answers.
Sure do.
So, yeah, we're all going to be there, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm so glad. And we've talked about this before, about Robert Haddad, that just an extraordinary voice in Australia for the Catholic faith. Just as good an apologist as you'll hear anywhere, and really has made it his life's mission to serve his fellow Catholics in Australia with his apologetics ministry.
Yeah, you know, when I posted the promotional video for this, because I'm bringing those guys on a speaking tour. So we're starting in California, again, Los Alamitos, and then down to San Diego. And then we're going to go to St. Louis and Kansas City and Birmingham. And when I posted the promotional video, someone from Ireland coming, hey, I love Robert Haddad. He's awesome. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
He really
he's fantastic.
Is. I mean, he's the kind of, people should know this, I guess. I don't know. But he's a person that we would have loved to have poached from Australia. You know, that wasn't in the cards, but he's really, really good. All right, let's go to Janet in Jackson, Michigan, listening on Good Shepherd Radio. Janet, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Deacon, since you're so well-loved and so spot-on in moving as a speaker, I'm wondering if you would consider making an appeal during this year of Eucharistic revival to get all the tabernacles in the Catholic churches back in the center of the church where they belong, and get the faithful some sort of a device where if we want to opt to kneel before our God, as it says in John chapter 6, we can do that. What do you think?
Well, first of all, Janet, thank you so much for your call. And I agree with you. I am one who believes that the tabernacle being in the center shows that Jesus is the center of our life, the center of our faith, the center of our parish community and our worship. So I love tabernacles being in the middle. Now, I don't know what I can do about that, to be honest with you. Those are decisions bishops make. And I know for a fact, because I've been to these dioceses, where the bishop has asked all of the priests in all the parishes to move the tabernacle back to the center. And some have done it right away. Some are waiting because they have to do a little bit of construction to make that center, to create a space for our Lord and the tabernacle to be there. But I agree. But I would appeal to the bishops to consider, especially with this beautiful emphasis on the Eucharist over 3 years. I think it's a perfect time to reemphasize the importance of the Eucharist by symbolically showing that importance by putting the tabernacle back in the middle again. As far as kneeling, in the United States, at the start of the Eucharistic prayer, or during the Eucharistic prayer, we kneel. So I would love to see that continue. I've been to some places where people stand during the Eucharistic prayer or different things, but showing that awe and that reverence for our Lord by going down on our knees in worship and adoration before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, I think is a powerful sign and witness of our faith in Christ, in that Blessed Sacrament, body, blood, soul, divinity, and then his gift to us. By giving the gift of his life, he empowers us to be Eucharist to the world, because that's what we have to do. We have to go out there and witness to the power of God's love to everyone and that we come into contact with in our sphere of influence. So thank you so much, Janet. That's beautiful.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you very much. Deacon, I wonder if you've seen this, because you're in a lot of parishes. I have noticed that there are more parishes where at the reception of communion, and I talked to one pastor, I just said, why'd you do this? And he said, the people asked me to, so I did it. They put a kneeler in front of the priest. And in this parish, I noticed about half the parish knelt to receive the Eucharist, and about half the parish just received the way we're kind of used to in the modern church. And nobody bothered anybody about it. It wasn't like a, it didn't divide. It just seemed like it's one more option. And he said over time, more people have chosen to receive on their knees. And I mean, I really like the not dividing part of it. Like, you know, everyone's always bossing everybody around about liturgy. You got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. And giving people the opportunity to kneel, it just seemed, I liked it a lot. Have you seen that where the kneelers are out and people get a choice?
Oh, definitely.
I tell you what.
We'll have the people distributing communion on either side of the aisle, and then in the middle are a couple of kneelers, and the people come up. And they have an option. They can receive on the tongue, they can receive in the hand, or they can kneel to receive our Lord on the tongue. And I think it's beautiful. Again, optional, because it's up to the person that's receiving our Lord how they want to receive him, as long as they do it reverently. So I think that's a beautiful option to give people to in the parish to kneel to receive our Lord in that way. Absolutely.
We're talking with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers about sharing the good news. If you have questions, if you'd like some help, some tips, some pointers for sharing the good news, you are very welcome here. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. You know, something that I learned recently about you is that you're not a TV watcher, and I know that you're a person of prayer. And I wanted to ask you about that as far as that kind of centeredness that you're practicing in your life and keeping the Lord at the center. I assume that that's part of the media restrictions you put on yourself as well. Does that make you a better sharer of the gospel?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Si. I think where that comes from, because a lot of people know that I have a Benedictine background. I went to a Benedictine high school, and I spent time there discerning monastic life, so I lived in the monastery. And that's where I learned a love for silence, a love for adoration and for prayer and the liturgy and devotions, you know, and that laid a very strong foundation in my life that I still draw from to this very day, you know. And so as I go throughout my day, you know, I start my day in prayer, and, you know, during the day I have the rosary and I do the chaplet, and there's prayers that I do all throughout the day, ending, of course, with Vespers and Compline and so it's a way to sanctify the entire day. And for me, I have so many things going on that television is not a good use of my time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if I want to be entertained, I mean, I still play my guitar every once in a while. I pick it up and play the guitar. I'm also a rail fan, so I'll go out and look at train videos or something, or I'll watch some stuff on YouTube, you know, just to keep growing and learning in the faith. And that's how I really spend. Of course, when I'm home, I spend time with my wife. We go on date nights, and we just had a wonderful anniversary, our 29th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
We did a wonderful trip. Thank you. We did a wonderful trip to Central Oregon, had an amazing time. You know, I don't just pray all the time, you know, but I do have spaces where for recreation, I choose not to watch television and to do other things that are more interactive.
And that gives you the kind of spiritual space, I guess, you're saying, to be better at the job of sharing the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. And as I'm traveling, you know, I'm thinking of scenarios as I'm walking through the airport terminal. You know, I'm thinking, what if someone came up to me and said this to me right now? What would I say? No, seriously.
That's amazing.
And who inspired me to do that was Trent Horn, actually, because I saw a video of him doing a training for how to speak about pro-life issues, you know, like when someone comes up to you and says something, what do you do? He was doing a training, I think it was in, if I'm not mistaken, San Francisco or something like that. And I think it was on Vimeo, and it was awesome. And I said, man, you know, so all this great knowledge that I've been learning about the faith doesn't really mean anything if I don't put it into practical application in my life every day. So as I'm walking through the airport, I'm thinking about these things, and you know, it's a wonderful way to really harness all of that grace and all of that knowledge and be prepared. So when a scenario comes up, I'm able to respond lovingly, you know, with the Holy Spirit at my side.
I got to do that because I am the most, I am the person who goes out of my head as soon as the person challenges me. You know, like all the stuff that I've learned on Catholic Answers Live, I've probably listened to more Catholic Answers Live than almost any human being alive because I'm here every day. And still, if you come up to me in the airport and challenge me on my Catholic faith, I'm going to go, hold on. Let me see if Deacon Harold is here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is hard in a sense because you have to get past the emotion, the initial shock. Whoa, this person just said this to me. This challenged me, especially if they're aggressive.
All right. I guess we're kissed.
Your first instinct is to push back, you know, and get defensive. But, you know, as they're speaking, even if they're aggressive, you know, I'm just listening. And I'm going to think, of what's the best way to bring Jesus to this person right now?
Deacon Harold, our guest, you probably hear the music. We've got to take a quick break. We will be right back. Your calls are welcome. 888-318-7884.
Is relativism dead? It sure seems dead. Each day, new moral demands are made and they are presented to us as absolutes. Everything from transgender ideology to physician-assisted suicide is presented as a moral good that all right-thinking people must accept. But Catholic Answer's own Carlo Broussard says look deeper, and you will see today's moralism is just relativism dressed up in new clothes. Carlo's eye-opening book, The New Relativism, shines a light on how the sacred moral teachings of this age cover up a deep denial of moral truth. Order your copy of The New Relativism today at shop.catholic.com and be prepared to defend the truth against aggressive relativism. The New Relativism at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
In These 12, The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes, best-selling author Rod Bennett gives a riveting re-examination of gospel events from the ground floor perspective of Christ's own hand-picked successors. In his trademark storytelling style, Bennett movingly depicts what it was like for the apostles to witness Jesus' teaching and miracles up close. Why did he call them, and what did he intend for them to do? Order your copy of These 12 today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Janet Williams. Please join us for Women of Grace tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Right now at shop.catholic.com, we've got a great deal going. And the journey, you're definitely not going to want to miss this. I mean, I have to say it. I don't choose the name of these things. Spiffy 60, $1 book sale. That's right, a $1 book sale. We've taken 60 of our 20 Answers titles, 30 books, 30 ebooks, and put them on sale for just a buck each. That is an awesome deal. You can find out, you can get all the Spiffy 60. I don't know why my mouth doesn't want to say Spiffy 60 when you go to shop.catholic.com. $1 books until midnight tonight, Honolulu time. Spiffy 60 over at shop.catholic.com. With us this hour, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. If you've got questions about sharing the faith, he is just one of the best at doing that and very happy to help you up your game as far as being a sharer of the good news. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Grant is in McHenry, Illinois, and I believe the second Grant of the day. That's pretty good for one day. Hi, Grant. You got a question for Deacon Harold?
I do. I am a relatively new Catholic. I came in on Easter Vigil, and I just wanted to hear some basic getting started with sharing Catholicism, best practices or advice.
Grant, you got to talk right into the phone because you're getting garbled on us there.
Oh, sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Go ahead and give us the question.
So I'm a fairly new Catholic and looking for some best practices for getting started in sharing Catholicism.
Ah, okay. Deacon Harold, best practices on sharing Catholicism.
All right, very good. Well, welcome to the church, Grant. Glad that you're here. So there's two things I would say, Grant. One, I think I want to make a distinction between evangelization and apologetics, okay? So apologetics comes from a Greek word apologia, which means to defend. So apologetics is about defending the faith, giving reasons why we believe the things that we do as Catholics. I think that can be, apologetics can be an effective tool for evangelization. So evangelization, in the broader sense, is really sharing the beauty and truth of the faith with others. And often when you do that, Grant, you have to know what the church teaches and why it teaches it. And the best place to go for apologetics is Catholic Answers. I go there all the time. I send people there all the time. Just the best resources in the world for apologetics. So that will help you with the evangelization piece. So the easy way for evangelization outside of apologetics, Grant, is to just share your experience of knowing Jesus Christ intimately and personally, and then sharing that experience and your story with others. That is a very effective because, you know, people, why are you Catholic? Well, you can say, well, it was, you know, this scripture or this book that I read or, you know, but what they really are saying is, what is it? What was it about it that drove you? They want to hear your personal experience, your story. What was it? Were you always a person of faith? Were you not a person of faith? Did you come back to the faith? What was it? Because they're looking for answers and looking to go deeper in their own faith journey and experience. So sharing your faith with others and learning apologetics, I think the marriage of those two things is a beautiful way to start, Grant.
Grant, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's see if we go. Well, I'll tell you what. Since Deacon Harold gave that recommendation of knowing the faith and sharing it, I'd like to send you Jimmy Akin's book, A Daily Defense, that teaches you the basics of defending the faith, 365 plus one different apologetics topics, each just one page. So if you hang on, we'll get an address where we can send you that book, and we will send it off to you. The number here is 888-318-7884. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest. Deacon Harold, known all around the world now as a speaker, as a defender of the Catholic faith, but more than anything, as a sharer of the person of Jesus Christ. The good news is Jesus Christ. He himself is the good news. And you are welcome to call with your questions for Deacon Harold on just how to do that, on just how to share the person of Jesus Christ with others. 888-318-7884. Has there been a time, or do you come up to times in your life where you say, now is not the moment for sharing, that I have to maybe lay some groundwork or do some other things before sharing the faith with this person or that person?
Oh, definitely. There's definitely a discernment process there. Because what you have to do, see, the key to that guy is listening. As you're listening to the person, you're saying, okay, as you're listening, thinking about how am I going to respond. Sometimes the response is silence. Sometimes the response is just accepting what the person just said, especially if they're angry. You know, I find that when the person's angry, just let them vent, just listen to them. That's the first stage. Now you come back the second time, they're not so angry anymore because you took the time to listen. You took the time to hear their perspective and their point of view. You didn't try to jump in and try to defend. You didn't try to jump in and say, well, here's where you're wrong. You just listen. You know, you say, you know what? I truly appreciate everything you just said. You know, and next time when we talk, you know, I'd like to talk more about that. And just leave it there. You know, and allow that person to process, you know, their anger and their feelings and their emotions, and you listen. They're gonna notice that. this person took the time to listen to what I had to say. And that's going to go a long way to helping them. Because what's the whole point? How do I get this person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say? How do I get this person want to enter more deeply into discussion? How do I get this person want to listen to my story and my experience of Christ in my life? You know, so sometimes just being quiet and listening is the best way to do that.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We're having a little bit of calls slipping in, so I'm going to go. We'll do a little thing called caller roulette. I'm going to let a caller on the line in Idaho. Hello, caller. You are on the air. Can you just give us your first name and your question for Deacon Harold?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Oh, my goodness. It's Emma from Hayden, Idaho.
Hi, Emma. It's nice to talk with you again. Go ahead with your question.
Well, I had to walk away from a funeral. I went to a funeral of a good friend on Saturday, and the word got out that I was Catholic, and I had three people pretty much beating up on me, you know, not physically, but with their words. And I ended up leaving because it was escalating. And I didn't even talk to them. I just said, you know, if you want to have a discussion, you know, let's do that. But I wonder what the best. I feel like I failed. I feel like I wasn't defending. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Deacon Harold.
Yeah. First of all, Emma, I'm sorry that happened to you, especially at a funeral for a very good friend of yours. If you don't mind, Emma, do you know what denomination that was?
Emma.
We were Quakers. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. They were Quakers, the Quaker funeral?
Yeah, but they were evangelical Quakers. They weren't the liberal ones.
Okay, evangelical Quakers. Okay. So, you know, again, I'm sorry that happened to you, but, in a situation like that where you're there for a funeral, if it were me, I may have left as well, but I said, well, wait a minute, I'm not here to argue about faith. I'm here because I love this person. They were a good friend. They were an important person in my life. And I'm here to honor their life by attending the funeral. You know, yes, we have different beliefs, but we all believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm here out of respect for this person. I mean, I'm not feeling very loved or welcome. Didn't Jesus say, love your enemies and pray for them? You just say, I mean, I'm not feeling very loved or accepted right now, you know, and I don't think it's very respectful of my friend who I'm here to honor their life, you know, and something like that, you know. So, if they would continue, maybe again, you walked away and maybe that was the right thing to do, you know, but maybe if you're in that situation again, maybe some wording like that might be helpful, at least to get them thinking about what they're saying, because they're just acting out of emotion and not really thinking, am I really being Christ to this person right now?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. But I like that I don't feel loved right now. That's beautiful.
Do you think, Emma, that you will follow up and meet with them, or do you think they're not interested in that meeting?
I don't think they're interested. They were just tell me I worship Mary, I'm a papist, just all this, you know. I don't know. I feel like that it words are going to fall on deaf ears.
Uh-huh.
You know, they won't be
well,
open
I love,
to it.
I love what you said, though, Emma, that you left the door open, that you said, you know, if you want to have a discussion, you know, that's beautiful. Because who knows? One of them may say, you know what, you know, thinking about the situation, I don't think that was fair to gang up on her, especially at a funeral like this, you know. So if I see her again, you know, I'm just going to say, hey, I apologize for what happened, or, you know, and say, well, you know, and you could say, well, you know, you guys brought up some things. Well, we actually don't worship Mary, and we don't. I mean, again, start have a discussion and a dialogue if they're open to it.
Emma, I'm going to say thank you because that brings us to the break. The number here is 888-318-7884. If you're looking for tips for sharing the good news, whether it's in your family, or at a funeral or in a work situation or wherever you are. You want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We've all been called to do that. Maybe you have some insecurity about doing that or you're not sure about how to proceed. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is here to help. 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just want to share that 5 years ago, my lovely warrior princess and saint of a wife and I decided to adopt a little girl through foster care. She is the perfect round out of our family of three boys and her. Yes, there are challenges. Very grateful today for all the blessings that he has shown our family.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic. The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Thursday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being here with us on this Monday afternoon, or maybe it's a Monday evening or even a Tuesday morning where you are. It was Tuesday morning where they were a day ahead where Deacon Harold was. He just completed a wonderful speaking tour of New Zealand and then Papua New Guinea and then Australia. And that speaks very well. If people are having the good sense to bring Deacon Harold in, that speaks very highly about what's going on in those places. Everywhere we go, there is a kind of de-Christianizing or secularizing or privatizing of religion so that people feel less and less comfortable living the faith, sharing the faith. Maybe people feel less and less also connected to the faith because it's not lived around them. It's in many places avoided or denied around them. So we got to be good at sharing the faith. And sharing the faith, it doesn't mean that you got to go out to the city square and get on a soapbox. If you're really good at that, nobody said you can't get on a soapbox. But although the soapboxes are made out of cardboard these days, don't try to stand on a soapbox. Now, you're just going to get hurt. But there's a million different ways to share the good news. And that's what Deacon Harold is very, very good at and very happy to share his insights with you. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884 on the line. Jay, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Hi, good morning, brother. Good afternoon. So the thing that's difficult for me is to find a starting point to start a discussion where it's going to be fair enough for me to be able to try to defend my faith as a Catholic. So, Deacon, if you could please offer some advice on that. Where's a good starting place when you're trying to defend against people who are hostile against Catholicism?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jay. I think you start with your story. Why are you Catholic? You know, because often when people are aggressive, it feels like they're attacking you. Right? Like, you know, you take it personally, you get kind of defensive. So I would start to counter that with, why am I Catholic? You know, because, again, we want to get defensive and we want to start throwing out facts and figures and dogma and doctrine, and they're not at that place yet. Because they're trying to understand, when someone's aggressive, how could anybody want to belong to a faith like this? Because they don't know what the church actually teaches about anything. They're angry because they think they know what the church teaches, but they actually don't know anything at all. So I think it's up to you. People say, well, wait a minute. Let me explain to you why I'm Catholic. Let me explain to you what my relationship with Jesus Christ is like. Let me tell you about the impact the Lord has made on my life, how every decision in my life right now emanates from my intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion with the living God. Let me start with that, because
no one knows your story better than you, you know, and they can't attack your experience. They may be attack what they believe falsely that the church believes, but what they cannot attack, what they cannot discredit, is your personal experience with Jesus. And that could be compelling for some of them, because that may, in fact, tamper things down, bring the level, the anger level down a bit. Now they're more open to listening because they're hearing your experience. So that's where I would start, Jay.
Jay, what do you think?
Well, that is good. That's good. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you very, very much, Jay. You know what, Deacon, when you were talking, I'm going to go to a caller, but I just want to let you know, when you were talking, I was thinking, there was a time when somebody said something to me about sin and guilt and all that, and I got to talk about the sacrament of confession, just very briefly about what the sacrament of confession means to me. I have no idea whether that got in or anything, but that actually is a you know, we have those opportunities to share what each sacrament means to us, what the life of faith means to us, and that the person didn't respond in a hostile way to me or clam up or anything. I don't know if they were interested or not, but I at least I got to share it.
Exactly what we're talking about.
Bonnie's in St. Louis, Missouri. Bonnie, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Well, like I said, it wasn't necessarily a question. It was the way he put it to the last caller, Emily. And he was so spot on. And she was directly responsible for her own actions, and she did very, very well. And I commend her for that. And she was there, like he said, out of the love of her friend. And it was just the wrong time for the family, even though they were grieving. I can understand they were grieving, but this world is so full of hatred, and that how they could be as Christian that they were to treat her such. It was just ugliness, and we're so full of this ugliness in this world. And it really hurt my feelings to hear that she had to go through that.
Yeah, that is very unfortunate that these things are still happening. But it's up to people like us when that happens, how we respond. How we respond to when that's happening to us. Because it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to get attacked. It doesn't feel good to feel like you're being beat up on. You know, and like I said, I've experienced this last year myself, speaking at a Catholic school, you know, and teaching these middle schoolers the Catholic faith, and then being attacked by some of the teachers and some of the parents who were there, who didn't like the fact that I was actually teaching the Catholic faith and not some watered down, you know, Jiminy Cricket, let your conscience be your guide form of Catholicism. Yeah, and that hurt. I mean, I'm not going to lie, that didn't feel good. But how do you respond when things like that happen to you? And my example is Jesus. Jesus was spat on, kicked, punched, ridiculed, mocked, scorned. He fell, and he got up and kept going. He did not slander the people who were attacking and killing him. In fact, he prayed for them from the cross. Imagine that. The people who are torturing you and taking your life, you're praying for them. See, that's the witness and example that we need to start, we need to follow as Catholic, following Christ's example. But it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, Bonnie, and you know that very well. But that's the place where our mentality needs to be. That's where we need to start from, because that's how people begin to see Jesus in us.
What do you think, Bonnie?
Well, I agree with the deacon, and wholeheartedly, even though I am not Catholic, it starts with love.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Jesus Christ.
Look, we're having a respectful discussion right now, right, Bonnie? And we're agreeing on things. Why? Because of our shared love for Jesus Christ. Love that.
Exactly. And this world is filled with so much hate that we forget sometimes who we are, and we just need to turn and think about things. What would God do? You know, this is ugly business. It really is, when Christians or Catholics or whatever you know, this poor woman came to this funeral to show love, despite her affiliation of religion. It should have not have even brought up. I understand they were in pain, but that was just horrible for her. And I'm so sorry. I'm so nervous. And I know everybody's hearing me.
That's funny. You're not coming across as nervous at all, Bonnie. You're making a lot of really, really good sense. It does seem that we... go ahead. Go ahead. Please finish.
No, I'm just speaking as a person that loves Christ and God. That enough's enough of this ugliness.
Amen. I could not agree with you more.
People just need to stop.
Well, the history would suggest people are not going to stop, Bonnie. But you are entirely correct. Hey, I don't know if we got any books that Bonnie wants, but send her one if she wants one. All right, she's in St. Louis, Missouri. That's part of the United States, so we can send it there. Hang on, Bonnie. Edgar will suggest a book or two and see if there's something we've got that you would like.
Bonnie, you know, if you were listening on the show, I'm going to be in St. Louis in Darden Prairie. I'm not sure how close you are to Darden Prairie, but we're going to be there on the 25th and the 26th with several speakers from Australia. Would love for you to come. I'd love to invite you to come and bring some friends with you. I'd love to meet you in person.
Wonderful. And where is this at in Darden Prairie?
Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Darden Prairie. September 25th and 26th.
I know where that's at.
Would love to meet you.
Oh, Bonnie knows where it's at.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. Free? The event is totally free. In fact, Bonnie, if you show up, I will give you a free gift. I promise you, I will give you a free gift.
Well, this is better than Oprah, Bonnie. This is better than going on the Oprah show. Hang on, Bonnie. We'll send you a gift, and then you're going to get a gift from Deacon Harold. All the Catholics are giving you gifts today, Bonnie. Thanks for a beautiful call. I'm only moving on because I don't want to leave people hanging who wanted to talk with Deacon Harold. And so I am going to Moses. Hello, Moses. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Hey, Deacon Harold, it's Moses. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm also discerning the diaconate right now. And I had a question on, one, where are you going to be at in Phoenix so we can come see you? And two, this one's more Mass-related. So one of my professors told me to look it up in the Daily Roman Missal, and I have, but I can't seem to find the answer to this question. Why are some churches doing the Nicene Creed versus the Apostles' Creed? And why are some churches just do the Apostles' Creed year-round? Is that a diocese decision, or is it a parish decision, or what?
Okay, Moses, great questions. First answer to your first question. I'm actually going to be in Phoenix on Friday. I'm speaking at St. Teresa Parish on marriage and family life. It's a group called Couples in Christ at St. Teresa Parish in Phoenix. So if you want to show up there, I will see you on Friday. To answer to your second question, yes, I've been to churches that actually, some churches do the Apostles' Creed, which is the shorter one, which is the one that we say before the rosary, and which is earlier, and then some do the Nicene Creed, which is the longer one, which is a combination of Christological statements and from the Nicaea 325 and Constantinople 381, which is the longer one. I've been to parishes where they do the Nicene Creed during like ordinary time, but then during Lent they do the Apostles' Creed. So, and I've been to parishes where they do one or the other. I think that's a decision that either the pastor will make or a bishop will make for a diocese, because the rubric says they pray the creed, and I have to double check, but I don't think it specifically says which creed to pray. So I think either one is acceptable. Most of us do the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed, because that's the one that has the full statements about the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Church. So that's the one that's the most common used. Does that make sense, Moses?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Deacon.
Moses, thank you. I hope you will be able to connect when Deacon comes to Phoenix on Friday night. If you want to know what Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is up to, you can just type in Deacon Harold Burke Sivers and your computer will take you to his webpage. But Deacon, what's the actual webpage if people want to find out about what you're up to?
DeaconHarold.com.
Oh, that's a hard one. DeaconHarold.com. Deacon, may we have your blessing before we go?
Yeah, may Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, Father Tad Paholchik coming up. We'll do bioethics next hour. Deacon, thank you. It's always just a great privilege to get to talk with you.
Thank you, Si. I look forward to seeing you all next week.
Right back with Father Tad.